Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
My name is Comfort, and I have the privilege of serving here at Watoto Church as the pastor to the worship and creative arts ministry. And today it is my honor to bring you God's Word. I hope you have been enjoying the last 2 weeks of our Family Month series. And last week, we had a powerful message brought to us by Pastor Andrew about overcoming sexual sin, where we learned that Jesus extends grace to us and not condemnation. But also, we learned that the grace of God empowers us to overcome sexual sin. And this is only through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, in case you missed the message last week, after the service today, visit our website, watotochurch.com, and you can be able to catch that very message, but also many more of our previous sermons. Today, as we continue with our Family Month series called Family Matters, I stand here to represent a very unique category of people. And these people are part of the family unit. These are the single people. So to all the single people who are tuned in today, I want to encourage you, get your Bible, your notebook, your pen, your iPad, wherever it is that you take your notes, because today we're going to learn some truths from the Word of God. And for those who are married, you may be asking, where do I fit in? I believe that all of us know someone in our lives who is still single. It could be your child. It could be a relative or a friend. I want to encourage you, take some notes for them. And at the end of the service today, share the message with them. I know that they will be blessed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the truth that is in your word. As we take these next couple of minutes to study from your word, we pray that Holy Spirit, you illuminate the truth of God's word in our hearts, that it will bring hope, healing, and transformation into our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen and amen. Now turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 25 to 35. If you don't have a Bible next to you, that's okay. The scripture will be coming up on the screen. Verse 25 says, "Now regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them. But the Lord in his mercy has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. If you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles, and I am trying to spare you those problems." Verse 32 says, "I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband." Verse 35, "I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible." So today, we want to talk about maximizing your singlehood. As a single woman, a single man, how can you and I make the most of this season of our lives? But also, as a church, we want to understand how can we come alongside the single people in our families, in our communities, and help them to maximize this season that they're in. And from the portion of scripture that we just read, we see that marriage is not mandatory for all, and neither is it God's will for all. Marriage is not the end game in life. And you may say, "Comfort, how can you say that?" It is true. And don't get me wrong. Marriage is a beautiful thing. At the beginning of this series, we learned about God's design for marriage and that God ordained marriage, as we see in Genesis chapter 2, where God brought Eve to Adam and he blessed them. Marriage is a gift from God. But the season of singlehood is also a gift from God too. And so Paul in this scripture is not comparing singlehood to marriage and saying that one is better than the other. No. He's simply helping us understand the weight and the responsibility that comes with being married and being single. You see, we live in a day when having your relationship status as single is not very popular, especially as you grow older. And many single people will identify with me when I say that one of the questions you get asked most frequently is, when are you getting married? And so singlehood is associated with a time of unseriousness, lack of purpose, lack of vision. But I want us to take some time and understand, why do people find themselves single in the first place? And there are many reasons. One is by choice. Some people just choose to be single. But other people are given the gift of singlehood. We have examples in the Bible like the Apostle Paul, who lived his life as a single man and dedicated himself to serving God and preaching the gospel. And I know that in our lives, we know people like that who have dedicated their lives to serving God but have chosen to be single for that sole purpose. But we also have people who are single as a result of circumstances. Maybe it's due to the unfortunate loss of a loved one. It could be through death or the end of a relationship. We have people who are single because they are searching, but they haven't seen anyone. Or for others, you're waiting and no one has seen you. Friends, regardless of how we find ourselves in the season of singlehood, I want to tell you that you are not cursed. There is nothing wrong with you. God has great plans for your life. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that I alone know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And so there are some benefits that come with being in the season of singlehood. From the text that we read, one of the benefits we see is freedom from the responsibilities that come with marriage. As single people, we have freedom with our time, with our resources, without bearing the weight and the responsibilities that come with marriage and family life. Now, I recognize that there are some single people who, because of one circumstance or the other, have had to step up in their families and take on some of these responsibilities. And I just want to stop right there and appreciate you for what you do. I pray that God continues to strengthen you as you look after and support your families. But I also recognize that there are some single people who do not have these responsibilities. And so we live our lives with a mentality of, I will settle when I get married. That's not true. And then we waste the freedom and the time that we have. The Bible has something to say about this. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, you who are young, be happy while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever you see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Friends, you and I will be held responsible. We will be held accountable for how we live our lives. As a single man, a single woman, I want to ask you, how do you spend your time? How do you spend the resources that you have? This is the time for you to make the most of the resources that you have. Determine now what kind of person do you want to be 5-10 years from now and start building to be that person. But another benefit we see here that comes from being single and the freedom that we have is availability. And from the text we read, this availability is put into context. It is to serve God and to serve others. If we look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32, it says, an unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. As single people, we are generally more available to jump in at a moment's notice and serve. That's just the reality of life. And it's not because we just have time to waste, but it's because it's easier for us to move our schedules around than a married person who has more responsibilities attached to them. I get to see that practically here because I serve with a huge team of creatives, of which many of the people on this team are single. Now, we do have some married people who serve on the team, and I want to thank you for taking time to serve God with your gifts and your abilities. But we also know that in times of crisis, it's easier for us to call on a single person because they can move around their schedules much easier than a married person. Every year, we put together a big production, the Christmas Cantata, and sometimes we have to work late and long hours into the night. And the people who will be available to work late into the night will be the single people, because they are available. Now, we're not saying that you can't serve God as a married person, no. And Paul clarifies this in verse 35. He says, I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. So whether you're single or married, serve. And I know for the married people, it may take more sacrifice, but serve. Be faithful to what God has called you to do. So you may ask, as a single woman, a single man, how can I maximize this season of my life? Number one, invest in your personal growth. Decide today what kind of person you want to be 5, 10, 15 years from now and start working towards it. And I'm going to share with you three ways that you can start to invest in your personal growth as a single man, single woman. The first thing is be rooted in Christ. Be rooted in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 to 7 says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Invest in your walk with God. Study the word of God. Be rooted in Christ. I want to ask you, as a single man, single woman who is watching today, do you have a Bible? And it may seem like an obvious question, but do you have a Bible? If you do, do you study the Word of God? The Bible is God's instruction to us on all issues of life. So study the Word. Get the principles that are in the Word of God and apply them in your life. Let your values be rooted and be grounded on the truth from the Word of God. Be rooted in Christ. But second thing you can do to invest in your personal growth as a single person is define your vision for your life. Discover what God's vision is for your life. Write it down and pursue it. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. When we have vision, we have clarity, we have purpose, we have a sense of direction. But when we don't have vision, as a single man, a single woman, we go to social media to find what the world tells us our lives should look like. And so we spend time scrolling through, looking for what is trending. We find pictures of married couples and then we respond with comments like hashtag relationship goals. My friend, the relationship goal you should be working towards is a relationship with God. That's the ultimate relationship goal. Define your vision. A couple years back, I was part of a training of a discipleship and leadership class, and one of the books that we studied is called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And in the very first chapter of that book, it asks and answers a very fundamental question that I'm going to ask you today. What on earth am I here for? As a single man, a single woman, I'm asking you today, what on earth are you here for? Do you know why you are here? I want to encourage you, if you do not know what your vision for your life is this week, take some time, go to God and say, Father, show me, why am I here? Write it down and come up with practical steps that you can achieve your vision. But third thing you can do to invest in your personal growth as a single person is pursue healthy relationships. Now, my single brothers and sisters, let us be friendly. Some of us are so focused on finding the one. We don't want to look left or right because we think if you turn a little to the left or to the right, you're going to miss the one God has for you. You will not miss the one God has for you. Build relationships with the people around you. Here at Watoto Church, we always tell people that church is not an event that you go to. Church is a family that we belong to. And one of the reasons why we say that is because we want to encourage you to do life with the people around you. Connect with the people in your community. I want to ask you, a single man, a single woman, are you in cell? Cells are small groups that we do life together with other people in our communities. Are you part of a cell? If you're not part of a cell, I want to encourage you at the end of this service, sign up to join a cell. In fact, if you're watching online, in the comment section right there, write it down. I want to join a cell. Someone will help you to find a cell near you. We were not created to do life in isolation. Do life with the people around you. Create healthy relationships. Invest in your personal growth as a single person. But the second thing that we can do to maximize this season of singlehood is honor God with your body. And I know, as a single person, the pressure is high. The temptation is high. And it's easy to compromise on your values. Do not compromise on your values, my friend. The Bible calls us to a higher standard. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20 says, flee from sexual immorality. It doesn't say walk away. No. It doesn't say take a moment, think about it, call for a meeting and see what you should do about it. No. It says flee. And in the Bible, we have a practical example of Joseph who ran from Potiphar's wife. He knew it was not time to have negotiation with her. It was his purity that was at stake. And he decided he was going to honor God. My friend, single man, single woman out there watching, honor God with your body. And I know that maybe you're watching, and this is a very sticky situation for you. You're struggling in this area of purity. I want to encourage you, after this service, go back and watch the message from last weekend about overcoming sexual sin. I know it will be a great resource for you. But also at the end of the service, there's counseling lines that are going to be put on the screen. Pick up your phone and call someone. Find help. Don't try to fix it on your own. Find help. Be accountable. Honor God with your body. But thirdly and lastly, how we can maximize this season of our lives as single people. Serve. Serve God. Give yourself wholeheartedly to the work of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Give yourself to the work of God." I want to encourage you, as a single man, a single woman, spend your time serving in the house of God. Exhaust your singlehood serving in the house of God. When they ask for people to sign up to volunteer, your hand should be the first to go up. On a Sunday morning, as a single person, you should be the first to show up at church and the last to leave. And you know, someone once said, the problem with living sacrifices is sometimes they can run off the altar. Don't be the kind that runs off the altar. Stay there. Give your life wholeheartedly to God. This is a secret that I learned very early in my life, and it was modeled for me by my parents. Every Sunday morning, they would wake us up very early and take us with them to church because they were serving at church. And when they got to church, they would do anything that was there to be done. Sweeping the floor, cleaning the chairs, whatever was there to be done. And so as a young adult, I made a decision in my life that I wanted to serve in the house of God. While I was at the university, I came and joined the worship ministry here at Watoto Church. And through the worship ministry, I was able to meet and interact with people who had giftings and abilities beyond my own. And through this, I was able to learn how to build relationships with people, how to steward my gift, how to lead myself, but even more, how to lead others like I have to do today. And I attribute everything that I am today to the time that I have spent serving in the house of God. Friends, serve in the house of God. Spend your time serving in the house of God. And for the rest of us, I want us to encourage the single people who we see around us in ministry. If you see them serving, tell them they're doing a good job. Parents, for those of us who have children who are of age, encourage them to get involved and serve. They are not too young. They are learning. They are watching you and they are learning from you. The Bible tells us that if we are planted in the house of the Lord, we will flourish. The secret to thriving, to maximizing your singlehood, is planting yourself in the house of God. Get involved in the life of the church. Serve God. And as I bring this to a close, I want to speak specifically to a single person here. You may be a single man, a single woman, and you've listened to the message and you say, "Comfort, I have done everything that you have talked about. I have invested in my personal growth. I am honoring God with my body. I am serving God." But you have one question. Why? Why are you still single? My friend, I want to encourage you. God has not forgotten about you. And I know that singlehood can sometimes be lonely, especially when you have a desire for marriage. But I want to encourage you, wait on the Lord. Serve Him. The Bible tells us that if we delight ourselves in Him, He will grant us the desires of our hearts. So I want to ask you, can you trust God with your dreams? Can you trust Him with your hopes? Can you trust that God is enough to meet all your physical needs? He is enough to meet all your spiritual needs. He is enough to meet your emotional needs. Stay faithful. Serve Him. Wait on Him. Trust Him. You know, maximizing every season of our lives begins first and foremost with knowing God and having a relationship with Him. When we find God, we find our purpose for our lives. And so you may have been listening to the message today and you're saying, "Comfort, I want to discover my purpose, but I don't even know this Jesus you're talking about." I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Him today as your Lord and your Savior. And I can assure you that this is going to be the best and most important decision you will ever make as a single person. And maybe you made this decision earlier on in your life, but along the way, you may have drifted from it. You can make a fresh commitment to God. I made the decision when I was a young child, 6 years old. I made it again when I was 13 years old, and I have never looked back. And right this moment, if you are saying, I want to make the decision right now, you're watching online, I want to encourage you, a link is going to appear on your screen. Click that link, and there'll be instructions for you to follow. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer, and I'll ask you to repeat after me. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Today, I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. So Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. Make me a brand new person. Today, I believe that I am now born again and I am a child of God. And I will live for you and honor you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody says amen and amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so excited for you, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the family of God. And you know what? This is the best decision you ever made and you will never regret it. Welcome to a life of purpose found in Jesus. Now, I want to ask you to do something simple. Send us an email, write to connect@watotochurch.com, and someone will get in touch with you and share with you some next steps that you can take to grow in your walk with God. Thank you once again for joining us today. I know that you have been blessed and I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.